welcome to the Not-So-Secret Guide to Being a Berkeley Engineer. My name is Laura Vogt. I'm the Associate Director for Marketing and Communications for the College of Engineering and your podcast host. This week, we have Joe Sell, Counseling Projects Coordinator from Financial Aid and Scholarships Office. Hi, Joe. Welcome to the podcast.
Hey, Laura. Thanks.
And can you tell us a little bit about yourself and what services you and your office provide for our students here at UC Berkeley?
Yeah. So, again, my name is Joe Sell. I work in the Counseling Unit of the Financial Aid and Scholarships Office. So I've been at Berkeley for about 4 years now. A lot of my work is the in-person advising with students. We also work in reviewing verification documents, other appeals, so a lot of the processing parts of financial aid, do presentations, podcasts like this one, so we're kind of out and about too, but the core of it is the counseling and advising for students who have financial aid questions.
And what is the best way for a student if they want to speak with a financial aid counselor?
So the best first starting place would be visiting in person Cal Student Central. They're located in 120 Sproul Hall. Students can start by seeing an advisor through Cal Student Central to answer any general financial aid questions that they might have. After that, if it's something where we might want to have a more in-depth conversation or do some more specialized advising or counseling, then students can come and meet with myself or one of my colleagues in the counseling office. Otherwise, students can submit a case through studentcentral.berkeley.edu. So there's an online request that students can complete if they have any general questions. There's also a phone line, too, to contact Cal Student Central. But really, visiting in person is probably the best way if you're on campus. That way we can sit down and have that conversation and go over any questions that students might have.
And if a student is getting financial aid, when can they expect that payout to happen to help them? Because it doesn't just necessarily cover the cost of classes, it also gives them money to live off of.
Right, exactly. So we begin dispersing fall financial aid, or really any semester will disperse no earlier than 10 days prior to the start of the semester. So for this fall, I believe instruction begins on August 28th, I want to say. Mm-hmm. So roughly around the 18th or 19th, we begin dispersing aid for the fall. So financial aid will pay to the student's account first. So it'll pay any tuition and fees, any on-campus housing, any other bills that are there for that semester. At that point, if the amount of total financial aid that disperses is greater than what's on the student's bill, that will refund to the student through either a direct deposit, which can be set up in Cal Central, or through a paper check, which can be picked up at Cal Student Central. So timing-wise, if we disperse around 10 days before, usually that refund is available within 3 to 5 days once it's processed. So usually a few days before classes start, that refund should be out as long as all the students' requirements and everything for financial aid are complete.
And is there paperwork that they're going to need to complete? How would they know if they're missing something?
Yeah, so we have, once we receive the FAFSA or the California DREAM Act application, at that point we can take a look to see if there's any requirements to complete. Now, one clue that students can actually see when they've completed their FAFSA, at the very end of the application, it's not very obvious, but there will be a little blurb that'll say, your application was selected for a process called verification. And so that's kind of a nice way to clue off that, hey, we're probably going to have to submit some sort of documents to the financial aid office. But once we have that application, then we can go ahead and say, hey, we have to verify your parents' income or maybe some other eligibility criteria on the application. Mm-hmm. That'll show up in Cal Central in the student portal as a task that might say financial aid verification. Once students see that, they can go ahead and follow the instructions. There's a link to click on. Our forms are now web-based this year, so they're a lot easier to complete than in prior years.
Oh, nice.
So electronic signatures, it's a lot easier to use this time around. And so there's a link that'll lead to that information so that students can begin that process. We release that information as soon as we get the application over the summer. So if students have already filed their application, then if we're required to submit anything, they should know by this point. So I would just encourage to check the Cal Central portal and see if there are any requirements to complete.
And you mentioned the FAFSA. What if a student hasn't filled out the FAFSA yet? Is it too late?
No. So even though technically the deadline for the FAFSA is March 2nd, students can still submit a FAFSA after that deadline. So there may be some programs that may be restricted or may be limited to students who do file after the deadline. But that's definitely not to discourage to file because most financial aid programs are still going to be available for students if they file after the deadline. So really any time during the academic year, but of course the earlier the better. That way we can make sure there is an award package available if eligible before the start of the fall.
Oh, awesome. What happens if a student's had to change their financial situation?
Mm-hmm. So students can submit what's called an EFC appeal. So it's through that same website that the verification requirements are listed. That can be found on the left side of the Cal Central My Finances page. It'll say verification and appeals forms, and that'll link students to where they can review the different kinds of appeals they can submit. So in your situation or your example, students can submit the EFC appeal if there's been a change in their parents' income or a change in their own income. If there are other medical expenses or other sort of extenuating expenses that aren't captured on the FAFSA or the tax return, that's an example where families or students can submit that appeal. So we can take a second look at their more current income or their more current circumstances and see if there's anything additional that we can offer or an adjustment to what we can offer. That happens a lot now, especially that FAFSA uses tax information from 2 years ago. So the FAFSA or the DREAM Act application will still ask for 2017 tax information or income information, but it's been 2 years, so that often has changed since then. And so students are encouraged to look at that appeal form to see if anything applies, just in case there have been any changes or any other expenses that we're not capturing, so we can see if we can offer the most accurate aid package for them.
And we have some students that are... or we're hearing a lot definitely about student loans and student loan debt and just the world in general. Mm-hmm. So we have students that are afraid to take them out. Do you have any advice for students with those type of concerns?
Sure. So a couple things about student loans. The first thing I would say is that roughly about 65% of our undergrad students graduate without loan debt. So a lot of times when it comes to being offered student loans, the concern is, you know, I'm going to have all of this interest and debt and everything to pay back afterwards. There are different kinds of student loans. So the first that I would say are federal student loans are either federal subsidized or unsubsidized loans. Mm-hmm. Federal subsidized loans don't accrue interest while students are enrolled in school. So if they're able to either pay that back before graduation or at least to pay something towards that while they're in school or something, that helps that it's going to accrue less interest after school. Because you'd be paying back exactly what you borrowed if you were able to pay it off before graduation, for example. So if it's sort of a short-term, you know, extenuating circumstances come up, the subsidized loan is good for that because it's not going to accrue interest during school. Mm-hmm. The unsubsidized loan does, but again, they're there for any other, you know, additional living expenses or educational expenses that are needed. The interest rates are relatively low. I think for this upcoming year, they're going down to about 4-point-something%. I don't have that off the top of my head, but... it's, you know, there's a lot of other flexibility with that regarding having a 6-month grace period after graduation before repayment needs to happen. There are often other options for different repayment plans after school. So there's a lot of flexibility there. But again, while students are enrolled in school, they don't have to make any payments on those loans. Okay. So if it's a more short-term need, for example, then student loans are still definitely a viable option there. We'll always offer loans on Cal Central in the order of best to least preferable. So if students are trying to decide which loan to borrow, if they do need a little bit of a loan amount, they should always check for the first one that's in that list kind of chronologically, because that'll be the best loan offer to accept.
Oh, that's good to know. And I know some students have the option in there to do work study. So what is work study? How do they convert loans to work study? Is it available to everyone?
Mm-hmm. So we'll assign work study eligibility, again, based on the FAFSA or DREAM Act application. So that EFC, the expected family contribution that the students will see after filing their application, gives us the information we need to determine if they're eligible for work study. At that point, if a student is eligible, they'll see it on their Cal Central portal. And they can go ahead and accept whatever amount of that work study they think they might use during the academic year. First, my general advice would be, even if there's kind of an inkling that you might use work study, definitely go ahead and to accept that work study offer just to make sure that those funds are available if you do find a work study job. If you don't accept the work study job, we can still offer it back later, accept the work study offer. We can offer it back later. But we can also convert that into additional loan if it's needed on that side. Or if there's loan that students want to convert to additional work study, we can always do that too. That can be initiated on the Cal Central website to do that conversion, or students can just come ask us and we can help with that as well. But the short answer to your question is that if a student's eligible for work study, they'll see it posted on their Cal Central award, their award letter.
Okay.
And that way they'll know if that's an option for them.
And if a student is available for or offered work study, how do they get a work-study position?
So there will be a link that will say, actually, I think it will say find a work-study job right above the work-study offer. Mm-hmm. And that links students to our work-study portal where they can begin submitting applications for work-study. As long as there's an accepted work-study award in Cal Central, which basically just means it was offered and the student said, yes, I would like to possibly use work-study, then they then have access to go in and begin applying for work study jobs.
And once a semester starts, is there anything the students have to worry about to stay in good standing to, in order to get their financial aid?
Yeah, so in financial aid, we have what's called Satisfactory Academic Progress, often just called SAP or SAP. So SAP says there's three different criteria that students need to make sure they're meeting when we check at the end of every academic year. The first says that they have to have a GPA of at least 2.0 or higher, cumulatively. They have to complete 67% of the units that they attempt cumulatively. And then they also can't attempt more than 180 units for an undergraduate student, which is kind of the cap for how many units they can attempt for financial aid. Those are kind of our three main SAP criteria. Now, the entire SAP policy, if students want to kind of take a look at it so they know kind of what they need to do moving forward, you can just go to the financial aid website and just type in SAP, S-A-P. It'll pull up that whole policy so that students know what they need to follow. But in general, it's, again, completing 67% of attempted units, keeping a 2.0 GPA or higher, and then being mindful of the 180-unit cap for undergraduate students.
Oh, okay. And in a couple weeks, I think students might be possibly seeing something that says CNP on their Cal Central. Can you tell us what that means and if it's something they need to be worried about?
Yeah, so CNP stands for Cancellation for Nonpayment. It's an Office of the Registrar policy that says that students must make sure they've paid at least 20% of their tuition and fees in order to stay enrolled in their classes. So this alert will pop up at the very beginning of the semester, but often it shows up before we've dispersed financial aid. So my first suggestion would be that if students see this message, to first check and see if we've dispersed any aid. If it's early enough in August, we probably haven't. One thing students can do is they can add up all of the total fall financial aid they're receiving. So Cal Central has a term view link that students can click on, and it'll show what they're expected to receive each semester. My general advice is add up all of those fall semester awards, so any grants or scholarships you've been offered, and then on top of that, any loans that you've accepted, and see if that's greater than your tuition and fees, or at least enough to meet 20% of your tuition and fees.
Okay.
If that is, then don't really worry about the CNP message as long as all of your documents are in and requirements are done, like verifications and that sort of thing, because then we'll be able to disperse that aid in a timely manner to make sure it pays those fees, which then makes the CNP no longer a concern. Now, that being said, it's definitely still to heed that just in case that is seen and there maybe isn't enough financial aid offer there or there's still requirements to complete. If there's still a verification that needs to be done, we want to make sure that's done as soon as possible because that could delay the disbursement of financial aid and then that could lead to a cancellation for non-payment scenario.
Oh, okay. And I should have asked this a little bit earlier when we were talking a little bit more about change in circumstances.
Yeah.
But is there any way for students to get emergency financial aid if something comes up?
And that's actually the next thing I want to say. So I guess I'll first speak to regarding the cancellation for non-payment is that if there's a scenario where there's still a verification that needs to be done or there's some reason that students are needing just a little more time to get that 20% covered, we have what's called the emergency loan program. So emergency loans aren't student loans. They're basically just a short-term emergency fund to help with either living expenses in the short term or making sure those registration fees are covered.
Okay.
So if there is some reason that students are anticipating maybe a delay in disbursement or there's requirements that need to be completed, one option is to complete the co-payable emergency loan for fees that will help cover 20% of the resident tuition and fees to get that cancellation for non-payment addressed.
Oh, okay.
So that helps give a little more time. It does make sure that students get to keep their classes, and that way they can wrap up any additional requirements. Now, otherwise, if there are short-term living expenses that students need help with, there's also the living expense emergency loan that students can request as well. And again, it's not a student loan. It's just basically a short-term loan that would be charged to the Cal Central account, and that would need to be paid back within 60 days. So that's just the emergency loan program. There are some other programs as well. One more recently is the Housing Security Award Deposit. So for students that may be having difficulty covering a security deposit for housing, we have an application that students can complete to request some additional assistance with getting a security deposit covered. So it's a short-term, it's kind of a loan scholarship in the way that students are not required to pay that back, but we do ask that they do because that's It's basically the money goes right back into the fund. It's a student-initiated fund, so we want to make sure resources are there so we can continue that program moving forward. But there's an application process for that, too, if students need help with covering a housing security deposit. And then outside of that as well, we also have the cost of attendance adjustment request process.
Mm-hmm.
So if there are other expenses outside of what are in the current budget, we can always see if there's additional loans or work study we can offer to help meet additional expenses. If, say, for example, rent is outside of our standard budget, say that a student's rent is a little bit higher than what we estimate it might be, they can submit that request to see if there's any additional loan funding or work study funding we can offer to help meet those additional costs.
Excellent. So it's good to know that there's options out there to help out.
Exactly, yeah.
And change course away from financial aid just a little bit.
Sure.
Let's talk about scholarships.
Okay.
So how do students find scholarships? Do you think it's worth the time and the energy to apply for them? How many students get them?
I would say it's absolutely worth the time. Again, like I mentioned earlier, with 65% of students not graduating without loan debt, a lot of that is due to scholarships. That's going out and applying for all sorts of outside scholarships that, you know, well, I guess one website I would like to suggest is it's scholarships.berkeley.edu.
Mm-hmm.
The reason I suggest that one first, it's called our Scholarship Connection. So it has a filtering system where students can say, I'm an incoming freshman, I'm studying engineering, I'm a U.S. citizen. They can check these different boxes, and then it'll pull up scholarships that just apply for those categories.
Oh, okay.
So another is, for example, for international students who are looking for scholarships, there's an option for international students to check there and look for scholarships as well. And it filters out all just based on these general criteria and then gives a bunch of links to these different donors or different scholarship programs so that students can then go out and complete that application process. So it's a nice landing page where it compiles all this information, and it's a good searchable function. That way it's easy to find the ones that are the best fit for each student. And that's just really one link or one website I would start with. Just going to the financial aid site and typing in scholarships will give you some other links to the more national databases that are out there, things like the Cal Alumni Association, other sorts of programs that have scholarships as well. But like you said, there's that process in doing the applications and reaching out and looking out for these applications. So it does take some work and some time, but it's all free money. It's money that you don't have to pay back after school. And so you don't have to pay to submit these applications. You're just investing a little bit of time in doing the applications. So I would say it's definitely worth it as the time is there, especially over the summer. Students can apply for scholarships anytime throughout their career. So even if it's not that summer before they come in as a freshman, even if it's before sophomore, junior, senior year, or anytime during the academic year, I would say encourage for students to apply at any time, whenever they can, just to see what resources are out there for them.
Oh, okay. I know it's sadly was quite some time ago, but I didn't have the resources to be able to easily look up scholarships mm-hmm. when I was doing it. So it's nice to know that there's a specific website out there that you can start with.
Exactly.
And be able to narrow it down pretty easily, it sounds like.
Yeah, exactly.
And then again, that was scholarships.berkeley.edu.
Yep, scholarships with an S on the end, scholarships.berkeley.edu.
And if you can give one piece of advice to a student about financial aid and scholarships, what is it? What would it be?
I think the biggest piece of advice would be ask questions. There's a lot of things out there to learn and know about financial aid and scholarships. Really don't be afraid to ask if there's any question. I always say no question is a dumb question, especially with financial aid. There's just a lot of pieces there. So if there's anything that's even remotely confusing or just you want to know more information, please come ask us. We want to talk about it. We want to make it as easy of an experience as possible. Feel free to reach out to us. Again, we're here in person. We're here over the phone. We're here online as well. You know, just don't be afraid to ask questions is what I would say.
Well, thank you so much, Joe, for coming and joining us today.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Laura. I appreciate it.
I really appreciate your time and hiking up here to my part of the campus.
Of course, right.
And I know financial aid is such a big thing that so many students have to worry about and make sure that they're able to pay to be here.
Mm-hmm.
And thank you, everyone, for tuning in. And if you've got any more questions, make sure you check out the financial aid website. And we're going to have links to everything that we talked about today on welcomeengineer.berkeley.edu. We'll be back next week with an overview of Golden Bear orientation and why you're going to be excited about starting your time here at UC Berkeley. Thank you.